It's all about you, you, you.
Me, me, me.
So why don't you have a picture on IMDb?
You know, I didn't make my IMDb.
Neither did I.
That doesn't matter. It's still you.
Yeah, but I don't...
How do you get in?
How do you get in?
Have you tried?
No.
Well, yeah. So try.
Oh.
Yeah, I would do that. So you?
I don't care because I don't act, so I don't need a picture.
Do you have
of
a picture of you on IMDb?
Yeah.
Of me?
I could if I wanted. You just.
I've hit the button, and Fred is now laughing into his triceps.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another delicious edition of The Gentleman of Elegant Leisure. Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Studio audience.
Tips always appreciated.
Oh, of course.
Tip big, as we always say.
Clink, clink. Sound effects.
And so, welcome, everyone. I'm Dave, along with...
I'm Fred.
And
I'm Jason.
Yes.
Yes.
The experts. Point, counterpoint on cocktails. Who will reign supreme?
Tonight.
Yeah. Oh, who knows?
I don't know. Could be a bloody affair.
I hope not.
Yeah. Is that what we're making?
That's yeah, a bloody affair.
A bloody affair?
Oh, that sounds great. I don't know what's in it, but...
I don't know. What would be in a bloody affair?
I don't know.
Yeah. Tomato juice?
Yeah, tomato juice or something.
Tomato juice.
Mm.
Parfait amour. Danger? A soup son of danger?
I mute.
Oh, God.
For some other time.
All right.
But today, we're doing sort of, I guess, money-related cocktails.
Yeah, because tax time.
It's tax time, yep. It's the time for millionaires to evade paying taxes and for chumps like us to pay them.
That's right.
So we are making...
the roof.
Yep. We are making a millionaire cocktail. Or is it this millionaire number four, isn't it?
Yeah, I think millionaires number one through three are just horrible.
Now, I found recipes for millionaires one, two, and three.
Yes?
Because one and two are in Harry Craddock's Savoy Cocktail Book, right?
Oh, okay. I found them in a different bartender guide.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, because Harry Craddock, I think, calls the one we're making today, he calls that the number one. And then Tim Haig. Haig?
Haig? I think we're going to go with Haig, but Haig? We really don't know.
He says he calls it number four because he found it in a different cocktail book. So right. It could be one or
And then four. He changed it again.
Oh, did he?
We're going to be doing what he said to fix it to.
Right.
Yeah, the 4A.
The 4... Oops.
He doesn't call it the 4A.
No. He says that the problem with the one that he came up with... Oh, no. The 1937 recipe for the millionaire number four, where it says there was a juice of a lime, a dash of grenadine... And then a third part each of sloe gin, apricot brandy, and Jamaica rum. Mm-hmm. And he says that that's too sweet.
Who's he to say?
That's right. I don't know. We probably should have made it. Maybe we should have done the millionaire number four and then the fixed millionaire number four.
Well,
4.1.
Sure.
Or the 4A.
Yeah.
Because there's a millionaire cocktail number two, which has the anisette, liqueur, egg white, gin, and absinthe.
Mm. And you know what they say about absinthe?
That's the heart cold factor.
I don't know what they.
I don't know.
I don't know what they say.
Are you sure you don't know?
I'm pretty sure I don't know.
Would you have a guess as to what they say about absinthe?
It's tasty.
Nope. Make the heart go yonder, grow fonder.
Pity pat. I don't know.
Whatever absinthe does.
Yeah.
And I don't know the quote because the King's Quest game.
Yeah.
That makes you insane.
I'm not going to encourage you with. I'm not going to help you with this. I did it for the first six times it came up, and I got the stink eye.
Thought you were my pun spotter.
Yeah, I am. I spotted one, so stop it.
Anyway. Yeah. So millionaire 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
We could come up with a 5.
Sure.
But we're not. We're not doing it. It's all we can do to get the ones out of the damn book.
No. Let's do... Yeah, we'll do Ted's.
We'll do Ted's.
We can do more later. It's not like we can't.
Yeah, we should make the announcement now that this is the final...
Oh, is it the final millionaire number four? Find your millionaire cocktail?
Maybe that's what it is. And this was Dave's suggestion. Dave came up with a theme.
Dave. You know me. I'm always about the money. That's why I got into podcasting.
Sure. No, that's where the big bucks are.
Yeah. Click-throughs.
Click-throughs. Clickbait. I want to
Bait.
Clickbait.
Is this on YouTube as well?
No.
No, but why? We should be on YouTube.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, no, sure. I've got nothing else to do with my time. Yeah. I will now take that on as well as the Instagram account.
Wow. Well, all we need is a video.
We could. I actually thought about that.
How could we adapt it?
We need make our videos longer.
Right.
I don't think we have to make them longer, do we?
Well, I guess not. No.
We just have to make them.
Right.
I do make them.
Yeah.
They're just on Instagram.
Yeah, but could we cobble together? We don't have to do a video. We could do, like, stills.
I don't think people like watching stills on yeah. video.
No. Yeah. No, they don't.
No.
But it would be one other...
It'd be like a montage.
One other thing. Because, yeah, you're right. We'd have to line up together behind a bar, and that is already too much trouble.
Yep. Mm. We could do three cameras. Actually, we need four.
Right.
So we get the one shots on everybody,
sure.
And then we got the master.
Yeah,
we got a master.
And then three follow.
Yeah, I think that'll over the shoulder.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think
so
that's
two shots. So actually, we need five cameras.
If you want to find us on YouTube, click on Jokes for All Occasions, and you'll find a number of videos that are actually Tom Saunders and myself.
Oh, there you go. Well,
who is Tom Saunders for our listening audience?
Tom Saunders is really the key to the whole operation.
Oh, sure. Too Tall Saunders.
Too Tall Tom Saunders.
Yeah.
He is a dear friend.
Creative genius.
Creative genius. Jack of all trades.
Yes.
Raconteur.
Restaurateur.
Saboteur.
Provocateur.
Provocateur. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, no, right now, we'll pause this, and you guys, you folks at home, Google or go shoot on YouTube, Jokes for All Occasions. And if you find a sepia-toned video,
mm-hmm.
you're there.
You're yeah. That's you guys.
That's
you and Tom.
That's right.
Well, okay. So tune in. But anyways, if you decide not to go to YouTube, stay with us.
Let's do something here.
Let's do something here.
That's right. I forgot. We have a show right here.
Yeah.
And Dave came up with a theme, and I think it's apropos because it is. It's tax time here for Canada. We're due on, I don't know, May 9th? When are we due?
Sometime in July, I think, isn't it?
We really should have straightened this out before
I got to look that up.
I believe the end of this month.
I think it's the end of April.
Yeah.
But it almost always gets extended because somebody hacks into the site.
crashes. Yeah, there's some reason. Well, we can only hope that that happens again.
Oh, that's what I count on because I haven't done them yet.
No.
Have you guys done your taxes?
I paid some guy to do our taxes this year for the first time.
It wasn't me, was it?
Yeah. And I was hoping to pick him up today.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
You gotta... It's not going to work.
I always wait till the very end because they say there's only two certainties in life.
Yeah.
Death and taxes. And I'm always gambling that I'm going to die before I have to waste my afternoon.
And lottery. The lottery is also a thing you can count on.
Yeah. They have it. Is that what you mean?
No, I've seen commercials. It looks like a pretty much a sure deal.
Yeah, it's good. The cartoon character always wins.
So what are we making first? We're making the millionaire or the income tax?
What do you think? Do we begin a millionaire and then pay our income tax? Or do we pay our income tax and hopefully remain a millionaire?
I'd like to go with the millionaire first. I think that makes more sense to me.
I go with Fred. I think we start. Although, I'll start on an up.
Well, I'm going to vote for income tax, only just to be outvoted.
Oh, sure.
And shake my fist.
I told you it was going to be a bloody episode, so it's going to bound to be fighting.
All right, so we're going to do the millionaire.
Mm. What's in that?
Well,
depends on the version.
Uh-oh.
As I say, the 37 one had lime, grenadine, sloe gin, apricot brandy, and Jamaica rum. And then Ted says, apricot brandy isn't brandy.
No.
No, it's not.
It's not. The stuff I brought, and that's why I brought two things to choose from.
Right. Mm-hmm. Apricot brandy is not brandy. It is a brandy-based liqueur. Ah. And that, the poor little lime, he says here, doesn't stand a chance. Because sloe gin, which was in it, is gin liqueur, brandy liqueur, grenadine, and rum. And so he says it's way too sweet. And so he...
I don't think he knows what he's talking about. I'm going to make that one.
Oh, well.
But not now. Because, I'm getting the stink eye.
Well, we'll try his fixed version.
Sure. The fixed version.
Which is going to be 1.5 ounces of original, of dark rum. He's calling for Meyer's original dark rum.
Mm-hmm.
We, for some reason, can't get Meyer's rum anymore.
I've got some left.
Do you have some left?
Yeah, I'm saving it.
But I had some plantation.
Oh, yeah, that's from, and we used that in our last episode.
Yeah. We used that companies, but this is one that I bought.
Oh, it's a different.
A long time ago.
Last October.
No, this isn't even that stuff.
Oh.
This predates October. This is. when we were talking to the guy at Astor Spirits there in New York, when I said, you know how much that bottle of rum would cost, I was basing it on this one.
Oh.
This is probably $28 in the States, and here...
Before $300,
probably. Liquor board, I think it was close to $70.
Oh, nice.
Hence, it still hung on.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, just a little bit left.
And actually, I must confess, I had a bit of a different Jamaican rum, because I was a little short. We needed 3 ounces for our doubling, and so I added an ounce of a Smith & Cross. Is it Smith & Cross? Ooh, you know, I had a week. I had a week to prepare.
Ray and Nephew?
No, it wasn't Ray and Nephew. It was somebody with Cross.
Oh.
Something Cross.
Brenton Cross?
Brenton Cross. Anyway, so it's going to be good. Yep. This is the original dark rum, and then that's a very good rum as well. Up here it retails for $80, so you can pick it up in the United States for about $15.76.
Nice.
So we're going to, and then 3/4 of an ounce of sloe gin, and you brought your Heyman's.
Oh, yeah, no, I got the good stuff.
Excellent. I had sloe gin, but I was, I was concerned that it might have gone past its prime, so that's why I had you bring your sloe gin. And your sloe gin is? And then what did you bring for apricot brandy?
Well, here's the thing.
Yes.
I brought two options. So we've got the apricot brandy, which isn't brandy at all. It's a fruit liqueur. It even says so. So this is Rothman and Winter. So this is the good stuff.
Yeah.
If you do a little research on this, I mean, Marie Brizard makes a nice one, but this is up at the top of the heap. And it's got a nice smell of apricot. So that's one option.
Uh-huh. I'm assuming that I had Marie Brizard at home.
Yeah, I had Bowles.
Well, let her go. For God's sakes.
She's making...
So if you have a whiff of that...
Okay.
And it's pretty good, because they make a brandy with the apricots, and then they add apricot juice from the same apricots.
Oh.
So that's made in Austria, I believe.
Hmm.
And then I got... I picked up this out of my good friends in New York.
Just like Franz Ferdinand. Yes?
And this is a peach brandy. This is by Peach Street Distillers. So this is out of Colorado.
Now, see, the problem with this is I think that this is a peach brandy.
This is a peach brandy.
So
you get a different whiff off of that, a different hit.
Right. But this, there's like a zillion recipes that call for peach brandy, right?
Yeah.
That you couldn't get before.
Oh.
In fact, I think he refers to it in this book that that's one of the lost ingredients.
Yeah. Well, I found it.
Yes, so this is actually...
So alcohol-wise, they're the same.
But this is 40%. This is only 20%.
Oh, right.
This is little baby bits, but this is the good stuff.
So, I don't know what
it smells like. Fresh. I think we should use the apricot liqueur, because that's what it calls for.
Okay, yeah. But doesn't he mention peach brandy also?
Not that I know of.
Have you got the old book?
He just talks about he recommends Mary Brizard Apri as your apricot flavored brandy, and Plymouth sloe gin as the best sloe gin on the planet. That's what he says, but he does not mention peach brandy in this particular thing.
I was pretty sure I read a recipe where it said or peach brandy,
right? But there is another one in here, because that's why when you said that you had that, I freaked out, because I thought there's something else in here that they've replaced that with. Oh, fantastic. All right, no, you hang on to that.
I'll save that for the ride home.
Excellent. Well, let's see what Ted Haig, Dr. Cocktail's version of the Millionaire Number 4 does for us.
Oh, I'm excited to taste that.
Well, you're going to have to wait.
Oh.
Because I'm going to make it first.
Really?
We're going to have to open up this.
Oh, yeah.
And put it down like this.
That's the cocktail shaker.
And then
I couldn't figure it out.
The IKEA Miro cocktail shaker. And look, I got tongs with teeth.
Oh, teeth.
Oh, good.
Toothed tongs.
Because Dave is always so worried about my filthy hands.
Yeah.
Of course, I do spend my whole day sexing chickens, and so... Since that's what the job is.
Sure, well, yeah, and... And then you've got your hobby raising feral monkeys. So
exactly.
You got to change them.
Yeah. Oh, and they're almost always sick.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, they're running free.
Yeah. You know,
back of
they're often used as lab experiments. So
exactly. I got them as sea monkeys.
Oh. Well, you taught them how to walk?
I taught them how to walk?
Yeah.
I made them little fur coats.
Oh, nice.
Got them hooked on bananas. I'm telling you. A lot of people would let their sea monkeys die. Yeah. I've had these about 37 years.
Oh, really?
Wow.
I wish I'd stuck with it now. I couldn't see where it was going to end particularly well for anybody.
Well, I didn't say it ended well, but I still got them.
Yep, so there we go with the rum.
Yes.
Oh, don't you just love rum?
I love rum. And I love a good Jamaican rum. And look at that, one dead soldier.
Yeah. There you go. I polished off a Gosling's Black Seal on the weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you get that as a kid?
I did. You know, they're not supposed to live that long in captivity.
Yeah. Oh, man, a Gosling's Black Seal. That's good stuff.
Yeah, no, we're having dark and stormies. Fortunately,
yes,
I had a spare.
Wow. Where'd you get your spare from?
The liquor store.
They got it there.
Yeah.
Now, it's not a cheap bottle of rum either.
It's not that much more than regular.
But it's a little bit more. It's a little bit more. 30-something?
It's 30-something. So it's about 50% more than a Bacardi. The fine people at Bacardi.
The fine people that you owe your life to.
I'm going to pay for something someday. But no, for dark and stormy, I think you really need a Gosling. It's that funky, dark, syrupy nonsense.
Yes. Oh,
it's delicious. It's great. Unfortunately, the dark and stormy is too simple for us here.
Is it?
Is it?
I don't think it is. I think we're too simple for us here.
No, maybe that's it.
We're trying to be too big for our britches.
I'm trying to find a good ginger beer.
I got a good ginger beer. But before that...
Wait, what's the answer?
It's whatever David Wondrich recommends.
No, it can't always be whatever David Wondrich recommends.
Only available in the States.
I've got to go to Massachusetts.
You've got to go to BevMo in Bellingham. But you'll love it.
I had Beaver and Bear ginger beer on the weekend in my dark and stormy.
Cock and bull.
Nope, Beaver and Bear.
Cock and Bull's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah, you can get that at, I think Savon will have that from time to time.
Oh, hey, that's pretty.
It is. I feel like a millionaire. Number four.
Yeah. I think I might have made this last summer. It might have been 3 out of 5 cocktails one evening, so I don't remember much about it.
3 out of 5 cocktails recommend the millionaire number four.
I think it was tasty. If memory serves, but I can't really say for sure.
I like how this makes just about the perfect amount for three thirsty fellas.
We're about to have a second cocktail right after.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Frederico?
Oh, thank you. Oh, that looks fine.
Davitello?
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, no, you can get some nice apricot off of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's,
I'm excited about good. This because as much as he touts Marie Brizard, something about this bottle just looks so fantastic. We'll have to get a shot for Instagram, eh?
Yeah.
No, it came highly recommended by the internet.
Well, it knows.
The internet knows.
It smells like something a millionaire would drink.
Hmm? Well, you get a big rum nose on there, too.
Would you call me?
Because you've been drinking so much, you've got a big rum nose.
Oh, that is nice. Wow.
Mm.
But it's boozy.
Mm-hmm.
It is boozy.
Boozy, but good. Wow.
Yeah, no, that'll do. That'll do. That'll make it. That takes a little bit of the sting out of the tax time.
I think it'll...
Two more would really take it. Would eliminate it completely. Yeah.
Yes, the millionaire. So I think he's balanced it pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little taste of the slow berries in there from the slow gin.
Mm-hmm.
The rum is there to smooth out all the corners.
Mm-hmm.
Apricot.
Yeah, the apricot. I get more of it in the nose than in the taste.
And then the lime. Mm. Yeah. And as he says, the other one he thinks is too sweet.
Yeah, I don't think so. Got a nice little bit of tartness to it, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the less sweet one.
Yeah, because that one...
I would try doing the other one, just to...
I would try doing it, too, because it's only a dash of grenadine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. He's a published author.
He's a published author.
So, slow gin, I don't know if we talked about that before, have we?
We sang about it.
The why of slow gin, and how it's not really gin in what you would think gin to be.
This is true. The first time I bought slow gin, a girl at work said, "Oh, are you sure you want that?" And I said, "Yeah." And she says, "Because I have a friend." This was Hillary that said this. Mm-hmm. She said, "I have a friend who's a huge gin fan." Mm-hmm. She got slow gin, and she says, "It's not anything like gin." And I said, "No,
no,
it's not."
No.
And so, what's this? Give us a little background on it. What is the slow gin? How does it differ from?
Well, I don't even know why it's called gin, because it's really you soak slow berries in it,
right?
And so, I thought it was soaked in gin, though.
Well,
as opposed to a vodka or a
yes,
a
no, clear it is. Gin. Yeah, but there's. Do we have a little? Let's have a little taste of straight up slow gin.
Just straight up slow gin.
Okay. We just go to the bar.
Yeah, sure. We got lots of glassware here.
We do, because a lot of people don't know it, but during the day, or in most of the evening, Dave's dining room here serves as a speakeasy.
Speakeasy, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's got about 40 shot glasses, so I'm assuming they're not don't have a lot of dust in it.
testing. All
right, let's give a little taste like of that. The slow gin.
I've got the Delray Beach one, that's me.
Oh, you know, I went to Delray Beach one time.
Oh, yeah, how's that?
It was great. Dave and I were there.
Yeah,
we were. Oh, is that Florida?
It's Florida.
Show us the bottle there, Jason, would you?
Of course.
Sahaman Slow Gin. All right.
The Family Gin Distillers.
So if you smell that, that's not gin. There's no juniper in there.
No, that doesn't smell like gin.
No, it's all juniper. There's something wrong with my nose. Ever since I took that fastball to the head.
Mm. And by fastball, you mean speedball.
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Now that...
See? No.
This is not terribly sweet.
No.
I think that the slow gin that I had mm-hmm. all those years ago and still have in the back of the cabinet mm-hmm. is much sweeter than that. Because Dave and I had it in a Trader Vic sling.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But, no, this is very adult. I would sip that over ice.
Yeah, no, I think you could. Well, now I've got to buy another bottle. But you see, yeah, so I mean, if somebody is expecting gin, and they pour out a big slug of this.
Yeah.
This is more like a plum brandy.
It is, and the slow is like a plum. Mm. It's a berry that grows on a thorny bush, I think. And I think they're more popular in England. I don't know if you get any slows over here.
I have not seen any.
There's a suspicious-looking bush near my house.
Oh, you should eat those.
That's what I was afraid of.
Yeah.
I was afraid you were going to encourage that behavior, exactly.
Or drop them in some vodka and then drink it.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that should fix everything.
It's an old hedge, mm-hmm. and it's got big berries on it.
No, you should pick them.
I'm not gonna.
Might be the last we ever hear of Jason.
They're probably okay. They might be damsons.
See? I think you should eat some and find out.
I think they're too big to be poisonous.
Exactly my point.
But have you ever heard about a big poisonous berry?
No, never.
They're always little poisonous berries.
No, so you should have some and then report next time we do a podcast.
Okay.
We'll do a remote from the hospital.
I feel, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm being set up. This is just that death before paying my taxes thing is just
a joke, but Fred is taking it very seriously.
I was joking, for God's sake.
This is good. No, I would have that straight up.
Yeah.
But you can see where... If you aren't in the know, you would say, oh, I don't want anything with slow gin in it. That would taste terrible.
Yes.
I have to admit, I find it a bit medicinal tasting. But
well, a lot of the ingredients we use are.
Yeah. It's just a little... I don't know.
It is. Yeah. I think that's why it's different than the other one. There is a... It's not Buckley's, but there's a... there is. I don't know if it's so much medicinal as it is herbal.
Mm-hmm. Mm, okay, well...
Could we go along
a
with
a medicinal
that?
Herb?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I mean,
St. John's wort.
The next time we try something with Benedictine in it, I mean, Benedictine, that's medicinal.
Is it?
Is it?
It's herbal. And it was originally a medicine, so I'm going to say it's medicinal.
Yeah, no, you're right. I was just trying to remember what it was, because I got Benedictine, but I've also got B&B.
Right.
Because I was told I couldn't get it, so I buy it every time I see it.
I think you can also make it. You take brandy and Benedictine.
Yeah, I know. I think it was easier to find B&B, though.
Maybe.
And not just B. There was a problem with it. It was something, you know, it was a BC liquor.
Back in the 80s?
No, when I tried to do it a year ago.
Because I think mine is Benedictine everywhere I go now.
I was down at the Legacy Liquor Store the other day.
Oh, swell.
They have Lemon Heart 151 on their shelf. And Midori, the bastards.
So what?
Yeah, we had to go across an international border just to get Midori bottled.
Exactly. So I looked online on their website. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I typed in Midori.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have it.
Because I looked on, I did the same thing.
They got it all over the goddamn place down there.
Got it on clearance. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, I was delighted to see that.
Yeah, no,
151 great. Lemon Heart. Mm-hmm. You should go get some in case you don't have it anymore.
Oh, yeah, and I don't have any. So, I mean, I've just got the 148.
Yeah. Not for you listeners in America, because you can get anything anywhere at any time.
Well, you know, maybe. But I was looking at somebody else, some other poor slob making cocktails on the internet. And he was talking about there's stuff that he couldn't get. And I think, I don't remember where he was at. It was Colorado, somewhere in the Midwest, but he was saying he was hard to get. He couldn't get anything other than, he couldn't get like a Heyman Slow Gin.
Oh, okay.
And so I think, you know.
Perhaps not as widespread
in
as
urban centers, but I think if you're in.
The rural states, the rural Rust states. Belt, maybe?
Yeah. I guess. And it depends on the states too, much like in Canada, because each state has its own situation on what they can do, right?
To bring in. Or, yeah.
And there's still a couple of dry.
Oh, there's dry counties.
Counties and all over. Everything like that, so.
Like the one I was in Ohio, where the maximum strength of any alcohol was 20%. That's where I first saw my bottle of 20% Smirnoff vodka.
I don't know if I know this story. That's bizarre.
Yeah.
20% vodka?
Well, yeah, we were a bunch of Canadians looking for a liquor store, and it was a hard time finding it. I mean, somebody in town finally said, well, you can get you can buy liquor at the grocery store. And I thought, well, okay, we'll go to the grocery store. It shouldn't be hard to find. We found the grocery store was easy. And then, well, where's the liquor section? It should be huge near the front door. Walking around, couldn't find it. And saw it. And it was about 4 feet wide in the middle of an aisle. And everything there was 40%. There was 20% alcohol. That was the maximum. And that's why it was so small. And that's why that was the only place in town where you could buy it. And so we quickly got on the interstate.
And where was this?
In Ohio.
Ohio.
Near Piqua.
Mm. Wow.
If that means anything to anybody.
And 20%. So you could get stuff. You could get gin, or you could get vodka, you could get scotch, but it was all 20%?
The selection was not great. There was not, I don't believe there was any scotch.
Right.
I'm not even sure there might have been gin. I don't think so. I remember the vodka, and then they had some stuff that's normally under 20%.
Right.
But, oh, it was...
Did they have vanilla extract?
They had vanilla extract.
Because I would be tempted to get that.
I'm sure a lot of people in town were.
Yeah, I got a bottle of Angostura bitters here.
There was a drive-through beer store that had formerly been a place where you got your oil changed.
It was very popular.
It was very popular. People were driving through and picking up beer.
Now, when you and I went to London that time, we bought some scotch and stuff, but we got it at Marks and Spencer. And I don't remember seeing... Did they have liquor stores there?
They had independent liquor stores sort of scattered here and there.
But we didn't go into them.
Well, we were looking for whiskey, and whiskey in London is very expensive.
Right, because they got you going and coming and going.
I guess they've got lots of the VAT and all the rest.
And Dave brought me an interesting bottle back from Spain when you guys were in Spain. Mm-hmm. Do you remember where you bought that? Was it, again, in a grocery situation, or did they have Spanish liquor stores?
I actually don't remember.
Okay, what about the little Czech bottle of stuff?
Oh, that was in a grocery store.
That was in a grocery store.
Yeah, you could, they're all over the place.
Right.
Little kiosks sold them, and widely available. I forgot what that was called.
I can't remember, because we're saving it to use in a cocktail, but we have not brought it in yet. Yeah. We'll have to do that in the next little bit here. And then in California, it used to be that you could get grocery, you had to go to like a weird store, like a dirty liquor store. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a Bevmo. It was always a corner.
Yeah.
It was all behind the guy. Like, he said, what do you want?
Yep.
And he got it for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's some of that.
That's like the Czech Republic, where a lot of times the liquor was behind the guy and you just kind of point to him.
The one on 192.
Yeah.
It's sort of like he's got the good stuff behind the counter, and then if you wander through the aisles, you can get the other stuff.
That's true. And then there was a time in Oregon, oh my goodness, where we walked down the railroad.
A lot of time in liquor stores.
We do spend a lot of time in liquor stores.
Astoria?
The Astoria, yeah, when we went, the Astoria story.
The Astoria story. I was trying
to say it on a stop. Where again, it was, and it was a liquor store because they have, does Oregon have liquor stores?
It was, but Astoria didn't have that many.
It had the one.
And you had the, you knew where, because you were looking for the,
McCarthy's
single malt whiskey.
Whiskey stuff.
Which I hear is much better now. Because it's, you know, 10 years later.
It's not new.
Not new whiskey.
And then when Dave and I were in Florida...
Did you go to a liquor store?
I went to a liquor store, because that's where I found my rum St. James to make a proper Mai Tai.
Mm.
And I had to go to, like, a funny liquor store where did I go? Palm Beach? You were at the conferences. Palm. I went down to Palm Beach. And I brought it up to the guy at the counter, and he says, "What is that?" And I wanted to say, "It's your store."
Don't you know?
Yeah. But I think that there were some areas, and you'd have to look in that Jason Wilson's book. I think Jason, a booze hound. I think it's Jason Wilson. He and his brother had a competition. They were booze archaeologists, and they would go to out-of-the-way liquor stores because they operated like little independent stores where you brought in your stock, and if it didn't sell, you just hung on to it if you couldn't get rid of it, and they would find dusty, weird old bottles. And that's kind of how that Florida place felt, because the guy didn't know what he had.
Yeah. Mm.
Then he says to me, "Yeah, my brother lives in Toronto. Is it cheaper for me to book my flight through Canada or through Florida?" I said, "I have no idea."
All Canadians are born travel experts. hold a second. Let me compute that for you, sir.
Kind of true, but...
I wish I could have helped him.
I think you knew the answer. You just didn't want to tell him.
I said... I don't know what I said. Sorry, bad story.
Use the internet. That's what I did.
I think I probably was going to say use the internet.
Back that was when it was new.
Although I might have had the story where Jennifer and I took that cruise out of San Francisco one time, and so we had to fly to San Francisco, and the cruise came back up to Vancouver, and it was $149,
right?
Canadian,
yeah.
I think taxes and port fees were in.
That's like $100 US.
It was ridiculous. It was a ridiculous deal. But we had to fly to San Francisco. Anyway, so we're coming back up with people from San Francisco that are also taking advantage of the deal. And the guy says, "Can I ask you how much you paid for this?" I said, "Well, it was $149. He says, "Yeah, American, but what was it in Canadian?" I said, "No, it was $149 Canadian." And he was not happy to hear that.
Well, sometimes, you know, there's a lot of benefits to being American.
That's right.
But sometimes, every now and again, you know, it goes the other way.
And the benefit for the American would have been to book it through the Canadian site.
Exactly.
That had it for that.
Yeah.
So this is for you Americans listening, you lovely folks. Look at some Canadian stuff and book it through there. Because we need the money. You get the deal, we get the money. It's win-win.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Remember, it's the money show, so we like to pass on the...
Fantastic.
Yep.
See? That's why you're the creative genius behind this whole enterprise.
I take my role as chief creative officer very, very seriously.
Now, here's where I go wrong.
Oh. This isn't the only place.
No, here's where I went wrong in the last 5 minutes. I finished my drink.
Oh.
So I can't compare it to the income tax cocktail.
Well, you can try some of mine, because I'll save it.
And okay.
You can try it.
It's mainly alcohol.
And I've been talking the whole damn
time. Now, you're over that black plague, right?
Not over, you know...
Ish.
I've been cleared to...
You know what? You can just have the rest
it's of really
whatever.
It's really the feral monkeys. You gotta
yeah, I know. Yeah. Of course.
The income tax cocktail has gin in it.
Yeah.
Which you have, I think, on your wall. I did not bring gin.
Oh, I do.
Thanks.
Yeah,
risky.
Got gin?
I knew he had it there.
Oh. This has got vermouth in it.
Right behind the Midori bottle, I've got the...
So here's the thing with the vermouth. It's actually not that old of a liqueur, but it's a fortified wine. So a lot of people...
So it has vitamins?
Yes, it has vitamins, Dave.
Well, I like to drink for health.
Sure, no. It's full of vitamins, antioxidants, and blood thinners.
So, oh, excellent.
So it's good if your blood's too thick.
Well, those are aftermarket blood thinners.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no certified.
Dave stores his aspirin in his gin bottles.
Yeah.
So it's what the white stuff at the bottom is.
So it was interesting. I was just looking up vermouth. I just wanted to know a little bit more about it. So all vermouths are fortified wine. So they're a wine, and then you've got... alcohol added to it to bring up the number,
right?
And then with these with your vermouths as opposed to other fortified wines, They've got herbs added to them. So everything that we mix is, it's, it all starts out as alcohol, and then they add stuff to it, which I guess is, makes sort of sense.
It's funny, isn't it?
But
it's like it's pre-mixed, and then we continue to
we keep mixing it. So everybody's, they're all very similar. So we've got martini, vermouths today, but there's Noilly and Pratt, Cinzano, and then there's, those are the ones we get here, and then there's others as well.
Yes.
And these are all... they all go back. It's funny. They're all from the same general region. They actually were all part of the same country back in Sardinia before the formation of Italy. They were all from the same country. But once Italy, once they became Italy and France, so Noilly and Pratt used to be in the same country as Cinzano.
Right.
So they were both vermouths, both in the same country, and then the country split in half, and half went to Italy, and half went to France. And so they're now you've got French vermouths and Italian vermouths, even though 150 years ago, it was the same place.
Right.
So now you have a lot of hurt feelings.
There's a lot of hurt feelings.
Between the French and the Italians.
but yeah, so they're all herbal, so they've all got their secret ingredients. They all tend to break down into this, there's sort of, there used to be just the sweet, which was... typically the white, the not so sweet, which typically the white, and then the sweeter, which is the red. And there's an in between, which was created just for the American market.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. That's the Blanco?
That's the Blanco.
Okay. And it's somewhere in between?
It's somewhere.
The color of the white,
yes.
But it's sweeter than the white.
That's right.
Hmm.
And there's also, that's the Rosso. I think there's another type of, it gets complicated because they're not. Although they try to line themselves up so that you know, a white one's, you can swap other companies' white vermouths for another. They're all a little different.
Right.
Which I just think makes it interesting, you know. So if you like your, if we're talking like martinis and you like a white vermouth in that, you know, and you're used to a martini, maybe the martini vermouth, maybe try the Noilly and Pratt, or maybe try the Cinzano, or if you can get some of the other ones. But
whatever you do, keep it in the fridge.
Because it's a wine.
Because it's a wine.
And yeah, if you keep that in the cupboard after about a month or two, I mean, it's passable.
It's something.
It's something.
But it's not right.
No.
Yeah.
What I did read, which I wish I'd known this, they said that because it really is a wine with herbal notes in it, and if you do realize you've suddenly let it go too long, you can cook with it.
I have cooked with it.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, indeed.
See, I did not know that.
Yes. I love that. A stunned silence and a smattering of applause. I did spot prawns in a vermouth thing. Well, and it only just popped into me when you said that.
Son of a gun.
Yeah. Was it good?
It was good.
Yeah.
Because you get the little flavor. The alcohol burns off. What little alcohol there is burns off. But it is. And then, so how does Lillet... Blanc.
It's in the same family. So
right. Fortified wine.
I don't know that it's fortified. So it's herbal. No, maybe it is. It's not a vermouth. But it's I guess it is fortified a little bit.
I think it is.
So the Lillet, yes, you know, you're right. Because there's the Americano. Lillet, I think, falls under the Quinone. There's a bunch of fortified wines that have quinine in it.
Right, and that was one of the stories in his thing here, because right. the Lillet Blanc people took the...
quinine out.
Yeah.
And now they put it back in again.
Now they put it back in.
Yeah, so the stuff I bought a month ago here has quinine in it.
Right, whereas the stuff I bought a year ago might not.
It probably doesn't. But supposedly they make both, but here we only get the quinine one, so which is great. It's the good stuff.
Right. Good.
Although quinine, anything that's with quinine in it needs to be kept out of the light.
Really?
The quinine breaks down. In
like light. Gremlins?
Like gremlins in no other way but keep them out of the light.
And don't get it wet.
No, you can get it wet.
And don't feed it after midnight.
You could feed it after midnight.
You can't because it's liquid.
No. Oh, right. So, yeah. You're right. But anyway, yeah, it's like tonic water. If you have tonic, it should be kept out of the sunlight because it breaks down.
It's funny that they say that because I would never think of storing it in the sunlight.
No, no. Who stores any of the liquor really in the sunlight?
Well, yeah, exactly.
You could leave it on your counter.
You could leave it on the counter. Stuff, but it's always so funny. It's like, please keep this out of don't store it on your windowsill.
Don't keep chocolate on your... Yeah.
And yet I sell glasses to people, and people leave their sunglasses on windowsills all the time, and they get warped and...
Why do you keep bringing that up? It happened the one time.
Listen, Mr. Crazed Lenses. Anyway. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you for doing all that vermouth research.
Oh, I just wanted to know. It wasn't for you.
Oh. No, it wasn't for me. It was for the vast home-viewing listening.
That's true. It was for our viewing audience. Who were really listening.
I'm using this Squirmel instruction packet. It's in French, so it's a lousy picture. That's why I use it as a bookmark. I read the English one. The French one stays in the ear. Remember Squirmel?
No.
No.
It was like a little worm thing, and you had like a fishing line, and you tied it to a button, and you did tricks with it. You Google Squirmel when you get home.
I will Google Squirmel.
Google Squirmel.
So the income tax.
Income tax cocktail.
Income tax. And it was a funny story in Ted Haig's book, because it talks about, again, it's similar to a Bronx cocktail.
Mm-hmm. It's just the bitters are added, right?
That's right. Bronx with bitters and make it snappy, he says in here. But you wouldn't say that. So we're going to have some gin, some dry vermouth, some sweet vermouth. So basically clear and red. Juice of a quarter orange squeezed right into the shaker.
Sure.
Which is what we're going to do.
You betcha.
Because I brought my Will Williams and Sonoma squeezer. And god damn it, I'm making it work for me. And some Angostura bitters. Our good old friends with the big oversized label.
So it's like a perfect Manhattan.
Is it?
Isn't it?
I don't know.
A perfect Manhattan happen?
The Bronx, sister to the Manhattan, it says here, was a grand cocktail for many years.
Mm-hmm.
It fell prey to a chorus of martini and highball voices rejecting the innocent orange juice it contained.
Oh,
that's so sad. Orange juice. Is this guy full of vitamin C and nonsense?
The Bronx cocktail was the third most popular cocktail, according to some of the research I did. It was number three. It was Martini was number one.
Yeah.
Manhattan was number two. And the Bronx was number three in 1934.
Really? 1934?
Yeah.
Fantastic. And that's what I was going to say, but to wrap up the vermouth thing, is that you would go to Italy, right? And you would order a martini and you'd get a glass of this.
Yeah.
Or this. Yes. Actually, more likely.
Yeah.
And so you had to be careful what you ordered when you were on vacation.
Yes. It was in Nice, and I ordered I wanted a dry vodka martini, which I couldn't get to save my life. And so I ordered that in Nice, and they said, would you like a 007 cocktail? I said, okay, what's in it? Well, it's vermouth and vodka. Okay. It was 50-50.
Uh-huh.
Red vermouth and vodka.
Oh, classic.
Yeah. Which is, you know, I would probably, if I had it now, I probably would appreciate it, but I was expecting something else.
North America, and that's why we do this show, North America is so far behind in so many flavoring elements. Not so much cocktail, just eating things.
Yeah.
If it didn't taste like cotton candy or a hot dog, we didn't want to eat it. And that's just because we're innocent and young and naive.
Now I want a hot dog.
Oh, I know, and I want cotton candy. I'm a bastard. But so when I was in Italy, as you always, that's the least popular guy at the party starts all of his conversations with. When I was in Italy, I had nothing but Aperol spritzes.
Sure, why wouldn't you? Because you can't get them. I guess you could get them here.
You could, but
who knew?
I think they appreciated it.
Sure.
I'm always about it.
You want to be appreciated.
I want the Italians to like me.
Sure. Well, a lot of people do.
You know what they did to Mussolini? They
dragged him around.
That's what happens when they don't like you.
You know, I drag you around the city.
Yeah.
Tied to a car.
And so Dave has provided us with some lovely Bombay Sapphire gin, so it seems like a shame not to do that. So let's get some more ice in the shaker here, boys. This ice becomes free at the local liquor store if you buy a bottle of alcohol.
Really?
Yes.
How do you... What? I'm buying a bottle of alcohol.
Are you
all
sure
the time.
You were in Canada?
Well, I mean, nobody stopped me when I took it.
Oh, okay.
I assume it was free. This watch was free.
So what I was saying about, because we've got a mixture of the two vermouths here, and the Perfect Manhattan has that as well.
Oh, okay.
But it's made with bourbon. But it also has dashes of bitters.
What kind of bitters does the Manhattan use? Is it also Angostura?
Angostura, but, you could go to town on that.
I can't go to town.
What?
He's doing a podcast right here.
You could use orange bitters, but Angostura, I think, is the traditional.
They keep making it.
Or you can just make whatever. You know what? Use whatever bitters you feel like, for Christ.
No, you're allowed to say that.
Am I?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We have a
for crying out loud.
Special warning on our...
I was told that when we were going to be on iTunes...
Yes.
If you thought there was even the remotest chance...
Yes.
Ooh, dear. Yeah, see that? So the millionaire number four works.
Oh, yeah, no.
That's the proof that
you feel like a millionaire.
I do. You should put an explicit thing on there.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we're covered. You can say whatever you like. You don't have to.
Well, no, I feel like I should. Oh, we're paying for it.
Curse it up.
Does it cost extra?
Nope.
Nope. No, it's all free.
It's the payment of being honest to the Apple Corporation.
Oh.
It's the way Steve Jobs wanted it.
Sure. Well, you know, I want to pay homage to Steve whenever I can, so.
Steve.
He's awfully chubby.
He's awfully chubby.
I guess former head of Mr. Apple Network.
Mr. Jobs. So what we got? So now we got the bitters.
Yep.
I sometimes feel like because I've got other bitters, that you know, when something calls for just Angostura, that I should be using other bitters.
I know. You feel... Oh, look, here's the poem that we've all been made ready for.
Oh, squeeze it right into
we're
the...
We're going to squeeze orange juice right in here. Look at this. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Look at that. Nope. What was that?
That's something I'll be cleaning up later. Is that? I assure you.
Is that enough? Yeah. You want just the juice of half an orange?
It calls for a quarter, but we double it, so we've got the juice of half an orange.
I love the way you can do math in your head like that.
I do most of it on my arm.
Oh. There we go. You're probably going to heat yourself in the forehead with that thing.
That's how you know you're done.
Oh.
Oh, excellent. Shake it, I've been told, until you can't hold it anymore.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
And wear it like you mean it. I don't know. So let's get this guy out here. Now, he looks exactly the same as the millionaire.
Yeah. How do we know it's a different cocktail? I sure hope it's going to taste different.
Oh, it's going to taste different. It's going to taste like gin and vermouth.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's orange juice.
It tastes completely different.
Angostura.
This is the income tax.
And when you send me the pictures in the email, Dave, you'll have to label them because otherwise
yeah.
They look exactly the same. It may be a hair deeper. Will be the only difference in these drinks. Plus the amazing flavor. Hmm. The nice thing about these two at this time of year is that they work for paying taxes.
Do they?
You're going to want to drink afterwards.
Oh, sure.
Whether you're a millionaire or not.
I'm hoping that...
Francine?
Thank you very much. I'm sending Dave a few pictures here, so I'm hoping that they're going through.
Really? Are they relating to us?
In Dropbox?
No, I'm actually sending you... I'm texting them to you, so I don't know...
Don't text them to me. I can't open photos.
Why can't you open photos, Dave?
It's not part of my plan, man. Send it by email.
Really?
No.
Not part of your... Why not? Damn it. Do you have Wi-Fi?
Cheers.
Just email it, would you?
I know, but I need Wi-Fi to email.
Oh, you're going to spill on the keyboard.
Yeah, I know. It was very close. Fred almost spilled his income tax cocktail all over my computer keyboard, which may have ended this...
Oh, my God. That is... Yes. It looks exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
Completely different taste.
Mm-hmm.
Completely different. Which, of course, it should be. But, yeah. I mean, it's so funny. If you take a picture of these drinks together...
Which I'm going to do right at this moment.
Oh.
They're super vermouth. It's super vermouthy.
You should get a shot of Fred's, because, look, he's got a bow tie on for today's episode.
All right. You did have to show off his bow tie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had a day off, so I don't even have a tie. Someone had to have a tie.
This is how I get more airtime.
Yeah.
I try doing this on set, but they keep saying, no, take that off.
Yeah. So the millionaire, it's slightly, a little bit lighter.
I guess color. It is.
A little bit. But yeah, you could easily mistake them as being the same, just by visual.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to tell, because maybe if you had more volume in it, it would be
darker. It wouldn't be. Wow. Yeah, but it's very different.
It's the bitter quality of the vermouth comes through, like...
Yeah. No, this is not a sweet cocktail.
Mm-mm.
No.
But...
It is not a really strong cocktail either. I mean, at least in the first sip. Yeah, it's almost a slightly watery.
It does seem kind of watery, doesn't
it? Yeah, which is, you know, it's still, I still like it.
There's no reason for it.
Yeah.
No, unless this bottle of vermouth is actually water. Oops. But it is, it's waterier than what the rum one is, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think the rum just has more, more earthy flavors.
Yeah.
A little more funk.
But the gin...
this is a very clean taste.
Do you get the orange in it? The fresh orange juice in there?
A little bit, yeah. You get that little...
No. It's a citrus hit, but it's very subtle.
Yeah. It's almost like it should have an orange twist on top of it. But you do get the orange flavor on the side.
The orange wheel.
Or an orange wheel.
It's supposed to have an orange wheel, and I forgot to... that's why I brought my orange.
Now, there's two stories about how the Bronx cocktail, which the income tax cocktail, is based on.
Yes, sir.
One is much more credible than the other. I'll read them both.
Okay. Which one are you going to do
first? The more credible one is that the vintage cocktail, the Bronx cocktail, was created in 1906 by Johnny Solon, who is a bartender at New York's Waldorf Astoria Hotel, and supposedly named after the newly opened Bronx Zoo.
Hmm.
Now, the other story, which doesn't seem nearly as plausible. The Bronx cocktail was invented in Philadelphia. There it might have remained in obscurity. See, it's making Fred choke. He's already doesn't believe it.
He's skeptical.
It would have remained in obscurity had it not been for one Joseph Sormani, a Bronx restaurateur who, for some reason, was in Philadelphia. And who discovered it in the Quaker City in 1905. I don't know.
Quakers are big drinkers.
Yeah, of course they are. Yeah. I'm going to go with story number one.
Sure, let's go with that.
But, interesting.
Yeah. Two different...
How many of the boroughs of New York ended up with a drink?
Yeah, well, there's the Brooklyn. Isn't there a Brooklyn cocktail?
There's a Brooklyn.
There's Bronx, Manhattan.
I don't think there's a Queens cocktail.
There must be a Queens cocktail?
Staten Island? Is that a borough?
It's part of New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Or is it a borough? I don't know. I can never remember.
It's New York.
Yeah.
Okay.
And is that all the boroughs? Do cover them all?
I feel that there's another one, but I don't know why.
Yeah, I think we should have looked this up before we started this lineup.
I know. I'm sorry. Okay.
Caught unresearched.
Ronkonkomo?
Is Long Island?
Long Island?
I think Long Island is too big to be a borough. I think. I don't know.
People in New York are just cringing.
I'm so sorry that we're geographically challenged when it comes to the grand state of New York.
It is. We are. We are.
You too. It is a grand state.
You two have been there. I have not. But
oh, yeah. No, you two plays all over the globe.
Oh, yeah. Do they? Yeah, oh, no, you very. Saw. But they're pretty good at MSG, Madison Square Garden.
Exactly. Yes.
I never thought that it was called MSG. That's why everything's extra good at extra Madison good. Square Garden.
Yeah, it feels good, but a couple hours later, after, you don't feel so great.
I got a headache from you, too. Oh, really? I'm not surprised.
Me also.
The Joshua Tree always gives me a headache.
There's five boroughs.
Oh, there's only five boroughs.
Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, and Staten Island.
Oh, there we go. I bet there's a cocktail for each one of them.
I bet there is. If there isn't...
We'll make one.
We'll get right on that.
That's right. But it seems like once Manhattan and Bronx and Brooklyn had one, that everybody else would have to step out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just you're just an embarrassment.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So I'm going back to the millionaire.
Yes.
It's funny. It still doesn't taste. It's got no bitterness.
Yes.
It's more sour, so it's not really as sweet either. So neither one of these are particularly sweet.
No.
So if you do like a sweet one, I would guess the millionaire number four unrevised?
I guess so. Or
it's gin.
The millionaire number four right away. Because this one's been sitting just a little bit and it's warmed up a little bit. Because it seems sweeter before than this one I just tasted of Dave's while he was out of the room.
What? Yes.
Damn, I was going to say something. No. Go on. Maybe it'll come back to me.
What was I saying?
I was out of the room, so I...
You were saying...
No, I was just saying, the neither one of them very sweet.
Right.
But you can certainly taste the bitterness of the the income tax with the two brothers.
Income tax is always bitter.
Oh. How fitting. Yes, yeah. It's, no wonder it has so much bitters in it.
Yeah.
And I was going to say that the recipe that we followed for La Millionaire involved, and I quote, although very slowly because my bookmark fell out, the juice of one fresh lime.
Right.
Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a lime.
Yeah, I have.
Sometimes they're the tiniest, crummiest little lime.
Oh, I know. Sometimes it's embarrassing.
And sometimes they're like a lemon that someone's painted green. And it even says here, juice of one fresh lime, 1 to 1.5 ounces. And so this is quite tart, but we had pretty big limes. If you had less of a lime.
Yeah. Yeah. True enough.
True. And so that's why, although we always credit whoever makes limes to always putting just enough in there.
Yeah.
Not in the case of the millionaire.
Yeah.
It can make it maybe excessively tart.
Yeah.
Or redundantly tart.
So sometimes you have to make 2 or 3 cocktails to get it just right.
Yes. And for some reason, that 3rd or 4th cocktail.
Yeah.
It's always perfect.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get in a fight.
Oh, sure. With a cat.
Which of the two did you prefer if you were...
This is a tough one.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a little bit of a sweetie pie.
Right. So write in. The phone lines are open.
Yeah.
Your call's to sweetie pie.
No, I like the millionaire.
You like the millionaire?
I like the...
I think I'll go for the millionaire, too.
I mean, the income tax is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's you got to really have your bitters on for this one.
Right. I'm going to go with the income tax because even though it's bitter, it's not as bitter as it could be. Where I've had something that was like, oh, that, thank you for that trip down bitter lane. So I think I preferred the income tax over the millionaire.
I mean, there's very few cocktails that I would say are, you know, don't make it.
Oh, no, you always say that. There's never a chance for you not to make one. In fact, people should make both of these.
Yeah, because it depends on your taste. Because I've met people, you know, people have come over to the house and they said, I've said, you know, I've got all this booze. I really need to make something with this to justify it. And so they said, well, make me a cocktail, but I don't want anything too sweet.
Mm.
And so this would be a good option for that. And the other one I do sometimes with the Vieux Carré,
mm-hmm.
which is also not too sweet, but this one is also...
This is the danger of the Vieux Carré.
Oh, sure. As soon as you say it, you start to speak with a horrible French accent.
Horrible! Once you slip into it.
There's embarrassment.
And see, and here's my one caveat,
mm-hmm.
if that's the right word.
Sure.
Is that I prefer the income tax over what I've sipped out of Dave's 15-minute-old.
Oh, maybe it's because of that.
It's
Dave's saliva has changed the pH balance.
I'm worried about the lime content in
it.
That's why I prefer the income tax. It's a little bit more controlled.
Well, my wife, Jessica, she goes for the income tax as well.
Really?
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right.
So, it's a tie.
I did not see that coming.
Well.
But, I mean, it's... I guess what's nice about the income tax, you know, and I'm sort of switching back and forth between the two, is it does seem a little more balanced.
Right. The limes were too big.
You're really hammering on the limes tonight.
They were enormous limes.
They were huge. I actually thought they were melons.
So. Yeah.
The limes are the pale. They're about 3 pounds. That's the lime, right? I bought them in a rush.
Oh. We have to redo this one.
Oh, dear. Now we try to be fair as best we can.
Well, I was going to talk about my French single malt whiskey, but...
Do that in half a second. I have a quick income tax question/story. My dad told me a million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't a million. I'm exaggerating. It was 250,000 years ago. That they brought in income tax in both our countries, Canada and the United States, at roughly the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after World War I.
Right.
To help repay the cost of World War I.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad's example that he used was that Henry Ford, as an individual, had more money than the United States government.
Yeah.
Have you heard this?
I've heard that specific one, but going back to the turn of the last century, that was why government had to... They were breaking up monopolies And because they were concerned that all these wealthy new entrepreneurs would basically start running the country.
Right. Well, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Not right away.
Not right away. Mm. Okay. Yeah. Because that's just baffling to me to think that there would be an individual that would have more money than the government.
Because it had, there was no tax. There was no way for it to have money.
Yeah.
And so...
But isn't that weird, too?
Yeah.
How did it run?
Yeah, like, how did it run?
They didn't hardly do nothing.
I guess
they had to do was have a war. And even then, they barely had enough money for that.
Right. I guess that's true.
And so the idea was, it was supposed to be a temporary thing. And that's what some of these freemen sometimes claim. So the income tax is only meant to be a temporary thing to pay for the war.
Until we have our next war.
Yeah. And so I shouldn't be paying anymore because, you know, that war is paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm right. sure it's more complicated than that.
And so more tax-heavy countries, some of the Scandinavian ones, Canada,
mm-hmm.
we get a lot of benefits in that we pay our taxes and we get, whether it's subsidized health care and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of good.
Paved roads,
exactly. Education.
Education.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it used to be the community would pay for a doctor, they'd pay for a school teacher. And so they decided to sort of spread that out over everybody, and then everybody would get it, not just the people who could afford it.
Yeah.
And now we're going back again. So not gonna, you got to pay as you go.
Yes.
But, you know, one time you had to pay, you were responsible for the road in front of your house.
I remember you telling me this. So
way back.
So like somebody could be driving along and then they just hit a dirt patch because you, Fred Partridge, decided to do that. I can't take care of the damn road.
Your responsibility at one point.
Right.
Yeah, it's still your responsibility to shovel the sidewalk in front of your house.
Right. Now, has that always been, or is that just a recent thing because they said we can't afford to shovel everybody's sidewalk?
I don't think they ever did. It just didn't. Oh. Are we running wrong?
We're not running wrong, but we're getting a little bit off topic.
This is why people listen.
I don't know if it is.
All right. French single malt.
Yeah.
Get on to that.
Okay, let's. So I did try this. So.
Oh, that's a happy noise.
It's a happy noise. So just. I'm going to just.
He's giving away free stuff.
So this. It sort of reminds me. It's.
I'm spilling my keyboard.
No.
Oh, you want a little more?
Well, I better, because I'm driving.
Sorry. Oh, it's on the... It's going to take the finish off.
It's okay. It's on the table.
This is a...
French?
Rosselier.
Who?
Single malt French whiskey. Rosselier. Rare collection.
Now, this is a whole different category, especially for Dave, because Dave is not a huge drinker.
Not really.
No. And scotch is probably the worst thing.
Oh, it's the worst.
Because some of them are smoky, some of them are peaty, some of them are sweet, some of them are heathery, some of them are French.
Yes, exactly.
But look.
But this one.
That's pretty smoky, isn't it?
It is a little smoky.
Yeah, I can.
So built in 1890, the distillery Grelais-Dupiche is nestled in the small village of... Anyway, it's in Lorraine, France. It goes on and on. It talks about a lot of stuff. So this stuff is a single malt whiskey, double distilled and matured in casks used for French dessert wine.
Oh.
So it came highly recommended, so I thought I'd try it.
Mon Dieu.
I like it. $38
you like it?
US.
He likes it.
Yeah.
Hey, Mikey.
No, this is great.
But
we broke Dave. We finally broke Dave.
Oh, no. No, she'll have to get
bring
a new
up the Lafroy. And the leg of Ulan, the 16-year-old leg of Ulan.
All right. Get the Ardbeg.
This is quite neat because it's smoky, but it's sweet. It's sweet and smoky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it different? And price point's really good.
Well, it's French.
Yeah.
Ooh. They're trying to climb into the marketplace. The Chinese haven't caught on to them yet.
Yeah. But no, they do a good job. It's a nice bottle. I said $38. It's not a bad deal.
And you got this in the United States of America?
I did.
Okay. So if we could get it here in Canada, it would be $133 for this.
Well, the good news is it's French, so it might be a little less. Because as you know...
In Quebec. Yeah.
That's right.
As you know, champagnes and some French wines are actually cheaper in Canada than the U.S.
It's always funny, too, when you can get a Chilean wine here in B.C. for like $8, but the one something from the Okanagan, which is about a four-hour drive away for you geographically people that don't know, is 27.
Well, yeah. In theory, it's supposed to be better.
That's right.
And certainly smaller volume. So they make a lot less of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, interesting stuff.
Oh, and, it is. Thank you for bringing that in. That's a whole different twist on this.
I know, it's
this.
Not really part of what we do, but...
It is, because there's various recipes that call for a smoky scotch, whether it's Rusty Nail, which they sometimes want a smoky scotch in.
Yeah.
And there was something else, because I was reading all this stuff, because we had all this lead time on the episode.
Because we did the... what was the one we did with the Ardbeg not that long ago? I mean, that's really smoky, but that was the...
yeah, the Shattuck and Shattuck smoke.
Yeah.
From our friends at Up and Up.
Yeah, maybe not.
Tip them big, because Fred did not.
I did not, and they won't take my money, so now I have to take them extra money next time I go back to New York. I've been tipping other people big to make up for it, if that helps.
I think it's all understood that it goes into a global pot for all servers.
Oh, it's a world income tax.
Oh, good. It all gets divvied out at the,
at the annual...
servers reunion meeting in Lorraine, France.
There we go. Look how dark that sky is over there.
Oh, yeah, it's burning. It could be a tornado touching down. We better head for the basement. Quick, grab the drinks!
Save the booze, for God's sake!
I found some Instagram stuff to
Instagram
talk about.
Stuff, yes.
This is something we follow this particular distillery, Willett Distillery, which you're familiar with, Jason, because I got you that lovely bottle of bourbon.
Oh, of course, yes.
From Willett Distillery.
That is a great bottle of bourbon, too. Yeah. Thank you very much.
We haven't shared it.
No, I've got it locked away right now. That's why.
Not in the sun, because it'll... Don't store it in the sun, or it'll destroy
it. It is stored so darkly. It's in my Art Deco liquor cabinet.
Oh,
but anyway,
that's never seen the light of day.
Before you finish, though, I have a weird story with this. Hold it, because it was such a special bourbon to me. I was watching the Barbecue Pit Boys on YouTube. They were doing a barbecue whiskey burger. They used this bourbon just to dump onto a burger. Really? I'm guarding it like gold. They've got it for me.
Glug, glug, glug.
In the States, they're using it like, well, this is a...
Well, it flows in the river in Kentucky.
I guess that's it.
That's it.
But the Willett Distillery.
Yes, they posted this from their Instagram feed, and I thought it was quite funny.
Oh, sorry. I won't look.
Yeah. Cheating. Is that how you got through university? Looking over at everybody else's test?
I didn't get through university.
Well, that's probably why. We got kicked out for cheating.
Wow.
Anyways, it's called the post was called How to Make the Perfect Martini. It's a two-step process.
Mm-hmm.
So step one. Are you paying attention?
I'm writing it down.
Now, step one, you take gin, vermouth, and olives and dump them in the trash where they belong. Step two, drink whiskey. Thank you, Willett Distillery.
Yes. That's funny.
Yeah.
Because I think there was a similar shirt at the Dead Rabbit in New York that I tried to buy.
That's right.
But I ended up with a different shirt that said, it's something I'm going to paraphrase because it's wrong. It's always good to carry a flagon of whiskey in case of snake bite. It's also helpful to carry a small snake. Same guy.
Same
drunk.
Yep.
Nope.
And the Willett folks follow us?
They do not.
Oh.
Well, we follow them.
We follow them.
Yeah.
However, I tell you who does follow us just started probably last week, the Gin Whore.
The Gin Whore?
Yeah, the Gin Whore. Well, hello to the Gin Whore.
Hello, Gin Whore.
She's, I think, located in London, and she gives gin tours. I wish I had known that when I was in London.
Oh, yeah.
I take you to famous gin places in London.
All right.
So, hello, Gin Whore. Thanks for following.
My 50th birthday, we're all going to London.
Okay.
And it's Gin Whore.
All right. So, thanks. That? She follows us. We follow her.
Let's do it.
All right.
We get 17 years.
Yeah. There you go.
And you know what? Our most popular photo from the last episode was a bottle of liquor that we did not use.
What?
Fred's bottle of Laird's Applejack, which he brought, but it wasn't part of any of the tiki recipes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It was fabulously popular. More popular than any of the tiki.
Really?
Maybe we should do some drinks with Laird's Applejack.
And popular because people viewed it?
Yeah, in terms of likes.
That's how hard it is to get this crap.
Yeah.
Yes.
Laird's Applejack.
Laird's Applejack is great stuff.
Yes.
I mean, I've had a few sips of it. And of course, Laird's goes back to like the 1600s.
Mm-hmm.
It was Applejack was the first We're going over time. We'll talk about it another time.
No, finish it off. Because we have a bunch of Applejack recipes we can do from this book.
So they go back. They're the last remaining Applejack distiller. And they're one of the first. So they go back to the 1600s. It was the
That's them. They're calling now.
As we speak.
They say, hey, can we have an Applejack?
That's the first time. Dive right in.
First time caller. The grandson or the son of the founder of Laird's gave his recipe to George Washington.
Really? Yeah.
And George Washington started making Applejack.
Oh. I cannot tell a lie. Why? I'm drunk.
So they bought up a few of the other distillers, but they're the last man standing in the Applejack business. But it's really good stuff.
Hmm. And how did you drink it? Did you drink it?
Well, I've made a few cocktails with it. Okay. I've had a few sips. I want to get the straight stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it was before they started making whiskey in the U.S., they made Applejack.
Yeah, I think it's one of the earliest.
It's because they had apples.
And it's one of these prohibition death knell things.
Yeah.
The people don't realize that don't drink how much prohibition eliminated all these categories of drinks. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's a... what book was it in? Maybe it's an Imbibe. Maybe Dave remembers. Anything that had New Jersey in it was an apple...
Mm-hmm.
An apple... an apple spirit-based cocktail from New Jersey because they had so many apples.
Yep, New Jersey, New York, I mean, it's all up and down there. And when Prohibition came in, wineries were destroyed. Their barrels, everything was just wrecked. The few that could ship their stuff out of the country, but...
Hmm. This was the one I was trying to tell you about before. The Delicious Sour, it's called. It's got Applejack... peach, brandy, lime, egg white, sugar, soda water.
And that's why I wanted the Applejack. Right. I bought the peach brandy and I said, oh.
And Legacy, when I was down there, 151 proof lemon heart, Midori, Laird's Applejack. They got it there.
What?
Oh, sorry. Ba 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 ba.
This cost me 23 US.
Oh, yes, that's still a better deal. Or equivalent anyway.
But it's good. I mean, if I can get it locally, I'll buy it. Okay.
I think I have a finger full of Laird's left because I was guarding it like I don't know what I was going to do with it, but you can't. When Fred and I went to California one time, flying back into Washington, we drove south to that liquor store on the way to the Chuckanut so that I could get the Laird's Applejack trip.
Okay.
So I'm glad that you've got it.
It's some good stuff.
I'm glad that you love it. Look for it.
Yep.
And there's a different Laird's, right? I mean, Laird's has a few products.
There's the Apple Brandy, which is a more refined product, but the Applejack is the original. And it's fine.
It's fine.
You can see a picture of it on our Instagram account, which is Cocktail Podcast.
Right. Or you can just go to our website that doesn't have a picture of it, gentlemanofelegantleisure.com.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Where you'll get the recipes for the drinks that we did today.
Yeah, that's right. You can go to listen to us on Crutch, Salmon Barbecue, and...
He's hamming it up.
Fred is over 40, but I'm not. Tune in to my 50th birthday 17 years from now.
Twitchy? Is that one? Twitchy?
Sure, Twitch.
Stitcher.
Oh, Stitcher.
Thank you.
No, we don't want to diss Stitcher.
No. Yes?
I'm sorry. It was dead air because something popped into my head and I didn't have to think for it. I happened to Google us and there was yet another site. Blueberry has us.
Yeah, I know. It does.
Even though we're not affiliated with Blueberry, but they're...
still list your... Yeah.
Yeah, so go to Blueberry.
Son of a gun.
Leave out... Hang the E out to dry and get your Blueberry. No?
Yes. No, you can, sure.
Yeah. And click on all of our links.
And our products page.
I wish I had a computer in front of me.
Yeah, I bet you would.
I'm going to cross my fingers.
Hopefully Santa will...
Because we got a comment on our episode number 8, I believe.
Son of a gun. Really?
Wow, that long ago? Yes.
Wow.
And just got it. We just got an episode.
Just got it now.
And what does it say?
Well, it's a little fishy with a PH.
Uh-huh.
The episode was called Dave's Not Here, Man. It was our first one without Dave.
Oh, yeah.
And a Paige and a Jennifer... both commented on it with the same comment that our website was great and it was very helpful for them.
Yeah, spam.
Spam.
Spam. Delete that.
So please, get rid of the spam and comment on one of these things, just so we know you're out there, that you've listened. Please.
Yeah. You know who you are, Holly.
Oh, we do get comments, but on Instagram, but they're usually like some sort of a emoji or emoticon, but that'll do, I guess.
I like words.
I know. We try to use words, people. We're
because it's hard to say thanks for the thumbs up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or the smiley face.
Exactly. Yeah. Can you respond to comments on Instagram? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Do you?
I do.
Okay, fine. Good.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Is somebody at the door?
You should have heard what...
Dean Martin here?
We should get Dean Martin here. Is he available?
Oh, yeah. No, that's not Dean Martin.
That is not Dean Martin.
Right. And but speaking of famous people, well, this is not really a really famous person, but he's an author. I mean, he was a famous historian.
Mm.
And he's our quote of the week, or quote of the podcast, I should say.
Excellent. Quote of the podcast.
Here's the quote. The proper union of gin and vermouth is a great and sudden glory. It is one of the happiest marriages on earth, and one of the shortest lived. Bernard DeVoto. Noted American historian, expert on the American West, in case anybody wants to know.
Really? Of recent years, or?
No. He's been gone a while.
How long?
I don't know.
Ish.
Mid-century?
Okay.
I don't know. 60s? So, late 60s?
I do appreciate his comment.
Yeah.
I do appreciate
his
comment. If he's a learned man of letters, I think we have to take him at face value.
I believe he's a lettered man of learners.
Mm-hmm.
No,
yeah, let that sink in.
Yeah, I will.
Anyways, we're now concluding the longest cocktail documentary on iTunes.
A lot of information.
People listen because they want to learn.
That's right. Well, they got $1 and 15 minutes worth of learning to do.
Well, there will be a test next week.
Next week, yeah. Pop quiz.
Your reading list includes David Wondrich's Imbibe, Ted Haig's Vintage Spirits and Forgotten Cocktails, and all of the Trader Vic's Bartender's Manual.
Mm.
And for bonus points, what do they get there, Fred?
Shaking Up Prohibition in New Orleans, authentic vintage cocktails from A to Z, Olive Lenhart and Hilda Phelps Hammond, edited by Guy Lenhart.
Excellent. So, yeah, no, there'll be extra credit for that.
Yeah.
And... Botanist that we've spoken about in the last few episodes in Vancouver's Pacific Rim is supposed to open in the next couple of weeks. So ideally next time we come back, we may have
A story or two about Botanist?
Well, I don't know if we'd have a story, but at least it's coming there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to Botanist before we go to Botanist, they have a cocktail lab. They have a cocktail bar. They're going to have fantastic food. They've got top people there. People that are making a living. People that are working their fingers to the bone.
Right. And they don't make a lot. You know, it's their passion.
Exactly.
That's why they do it. But still.
They do it. They do it out of the goodness of their heart.
So they always appreciate it. If, as a customer.
You.
Me. Fred.
To show them that you care.
To show them that you care.
Bye.
Well, that doesn't work.
In that case,
yeah.
Just
tip big.